is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levan Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I have no clue what it is that you're doing at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that do and that you're doing that do with me. So this morning, I kind of just want to play speculator sport. That's kind of fun. Politics is still in the air. I see that there's a lot of stuff in the news. I see Dr. Dwayne Sands is in the news. Isn't that amazing? Way to stay relevant. But I think we can play a game this morning of who would we like to see, who would we really not like to see, and maybe why. Can we do that this morning? All right. The phone lines are going to be open early. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on any one of those numbers. You can text me on 4224796. All right. There have been some recent appointments. Jerome Fitzgerald is now in the OPM's delivery unit. As far as I am aware, that unit was established by the former Prime Minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis. But I think in a reincarnated fashion, because if I'm not mistaken, I think that unit partially existed prior to that. But it existed in a two-man team of Jack Thompson and Subaltern Bettel. And so, you know, governments have a way of getting things done. I'm not sure if it was called the delivery unit under Prime Minister Christie. But if you remember, Jack Thompson was given the special project, which was Bimini World Resort. He was integrally involved in that development. Of course, you know, the Bahama. Subaltern was, as well, very involved in that development. And those two persons were very much every day devoted to the project, met with the Prime Minister. And people say, oh, my God, what's the reason for these kinds of portfolios? Let me tell you why. Life at the top is lonely, okay? You can't go to bars no more. Like, if I became Prime Minister today, I don't know what I would do, right? Because, you know, I've spent a good bit of my life as an ambassador for local community watering holes. As Prime Minister, as a matter of security purpose, I wouldn't be able to, as frequently as I'd like, frequent my local community watering holes. I would also be busy, right? And so I can't go and hang with Shagalicious and the boys no more because I have things to do, right? Jockey them, they have to see me later. I can't come. What then happens is I end up in an echo chamber where if all the people around me are only yes men and members of my staff, I could find myself with sycophant-like support where people just tell me yes sir, yes sir, yes sir all day. So as Prime Minister, I need a Negro or two who could curse me out. I need a Negro or two who could say to me, Chief, this thing you got going on here is foolishness, all right? And don't ever say that again in public. Other than that, we have to abduct you. And so that's kind of what the special advisor to the prime minister is. Chief, we want to go in this way, if you would recall. And of course, when you think about people like Baltram Bethlehem, who I don't think cursed, they have institutional knowledge. So the reason why we're doing it like this is because when we did it in 72, this was the actual thought. And prime ministers need that because, you know, they have a thousand, they have so many things to weed through, right? They have 1 million butterflies. They have international crises happening all over the world, collapsing economics happening in their own country. The unions are creating the red herrings that they typically create around the times that they create them. And so a prime minister needs to be able to walk in a room with some fellas that he can soundboard off of, you know, and kind of throw ideas against them. And then they tell him how to get the things that are in his head. They tell him how to get it done. Because a lot of times you can conceptualize the what. It is the how and the intricacies of that kind of trip you down a bit. So that is why prime ministers need these kinds of things. All right? So right out of the gate this morning, the next, I think, major composition or group of people that we care about will be the Senate. Of course, there will be board committees and appointments, that kind of stuff. Let me say right now, the director of labor appointment shocks me into a state of bewilderment. Notwithstanding, I guess everybody says the man has a stellar curriculum vitae in the area of labor. I argue some other things. But if that is the choice that you all pick, and I also don't like the confusion around it, right? So one day the man was director of labor, the FNM government becomes, the FNM party becomes the government. We bring some other dude in who was a unionist and actually fought against labor to be the director of labor, only to sidestep the director of labor and make him the something else of labor, right? Only to then 4 years later miraculously bathe him in an anointing oil and reappoint him to director of labor. I'm not sure if that is progressive. And if it is, it certainly doesn't look progressive, if I can offer an argument. The other thing is, I see that Elcott Colby, or the wind has told me, I have not confirmed this yet, the wind has told me that Elcott Colby is on his way to BIS. I long for the day when we see the Arthur Folks type of BIS come back again. Like, I remember as a younger man seeing and hearing about Sir Arthur. I mean, just saying the name Sir Arthur made me think that BIS was something special. I again long for the day that it is led by that kind of a stature. Hopefully that day isn't very far from this day. Am I saying anything about Mr. Elcott Colby? No, I am not. Am I saying anything about the last guy in the chair? Quite possibly I'm not either. What I am saying, though, is I long for the day when I can hear, see names or an organization like BIS because of what it represents. It is the government's official communication center. So once you see BIS, you have no need to speculate about this. This, ladies and gentlemen, is legitimate. And there are certain names that kind of engender that kind of confidence from the public. You know that if this man, and the writing matters to me as well, because all of this writing isn't always the best, right? And so you see those kinds of things and you hope that the people that sit in the office, take it as serious as you who enjoy the content generated by the office. You hope that the people who sit at the top of the office are concerned with attention to detail, like you who consume the product created by the office. You want to make sure that the department of BIS doesn't become an anachronism because of the mindset of the person that sits at the helm of the organization. And so, you know, I'm, again, not saying anything about Elcott Colby. I'm just saying that I long for the day that I see and or hear names like Sir Arthur once again associated with the leadership of BIS. And I'm not saying Sir Arthur because, you know, he's very close to 100 and I don't expect it to be him. All right? So Senate picks right out the gate. I'm going to go with the FNM because they got the smallest amount. All right, you're not going to believe me when I say this. I see Darren Henfield coming back in the Senate. as leader of opposition business in the Senate. That's my pick for the FNM. Dawn Sanders, because he was the former deputy speaker and understands parliamentary protocol, will be second opposition pick in the Senate. Then they got to throw a young person in there, because you know they like to put token young people. Who's my third person? I'm thinking about Darren Enfield, Dawn Sanders. I know they would like to give it to Kalyle Bethel, but I don't think he's old enough. Neither is Travis Roberts, and he isn't old enough, because the rule is you have to be 30 years old to sit in the Senate. So that eliminates those two people. Thank God for one of them. And there's no need to bring Jamal back, because he's already had his turn. And Dr. Hubert Minnis, under no circumstance, will appoint Duane Sands to the Senate, because then, of course, why would the news talk to him? And he, in his attempt to stench Duane Sands, will stay in Killarney for 2 years before he gives that seat up. By that time, Duane Sands will be somewhere on the next side of the world doing surgeries. And that now leaves me... I can't think about an FNM woman, by the way. Like, I sat down all night trying to think about an FNM woman that they could pick, right? They're probably going to try to go with youthful and woman. I don't know if they're going to go with Pekesha, though. I just don't think she's been stellar. So we'll see. Maybe you all could help me with it. 323-622-3254-316-325-4259. You can give me a call. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Levan.
Hey, how are you?
Not a thing, comrade.
You see how I ain't going to the text messages on you?
Boy, you just said I was just starting to burn. Listen up. What I called to tell you is, y'all thought this movie was over after we kick out the red PLPA. Y'all thought this was over.
What are you saying? That you're saying that this is the new PLP? They like Zion.
The only thing we, this the original PLP. Mm. The last PLP, the last comment we kicked out was the red PLP.
Mm-hmm.
So I never leave the movie theater. You know, everybody get up and gone, or they're partying. I still in the movie theater with my popcorn, my drink, and my water, enjoying this movie.
Mm.
Because even although we wishing grave well, or you start to see the little things coming in the arm of the Ryan Pinders, the Elcott Colby, and the Jerome Fitzgerald, and they sneaking back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if soon we don't hear something for Barry Christie. This movie ain't over here.
Mm-hmm.
I could give Brave Andy 2 to 2.5 years to see if he stay on track. Cause to me, it seems as if their wheels are on that track with you on now.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to move into another track.
Mm. Okay.
You know? All right then.
Yeah. Let me also say this, right? I want to take the point there. I want to see Perry Christie come back. How your heart burned within you when I said that. No, I want to see PGC come back. I have this very interesting thought in my head, right? For as long as Perry Christie is alive, he's 78 years old now, right? Which makes him, I think, about 10 years younger than the sitting Governor General. But for as long as Perry Christie is alive, he will forever be former leader of the Progressive Liberal Party. The luxury Perry Christie had of taking over the PLP and being able to build the legacy that he did was Lyndon Pinling died. That was a benefit to him. He literally didn't have... Mr. Pinling lost in 97, and by 2000, he was dead, right? So... literally, Mr. Christie spent the next 18 years building the legacy of the party with no predecessor. So he was everybody's favorite guy, right? Like Guest Dawn. I don't think Mr. Christie's going to die. I see him. Mr. Christie, look, he could do another 15. He could do at least 5 more as prime minister, actually. That's how he looks, right? So here's my thought. Let's take Mr. Christie, send him to Mount Fitzwilliam, right? Send him to Mount Fitzwilliam and give him a knighthood. He will be the most right honorable Sir Perry Gladstone Christie, right? And we hide him on top of Mount Fitzwilliam, and we just bring him out when it's time to wave and read speeches from the throne. That way he comes out of Mr. Davis's way, because as long as he's Governor General, he could never come to another PLP function, right? That kind of... So he dies to the party, technically. And now... Mr. Davis is allowed to build a legacy without the umbrella of a predecessor hovering over his head. Separate and apart from that, every single time he goes to a PLP function, guess who's going to be there? Perry Gladstone Christie. And he's never going to be as great an orator as Mr. Christie, who could actually speak with prepared notes from a teleprompter or in his most preferred fashion, extemporaneously, right? And if I was Philip Davis, Mr. Davis, I just wouldn't want to compete with that, all right? And don't call me and tell me I'm being rude. I'm just calling the names in their passport at this present point. But I would kind of want him out of my way. And the best way to ensure that, see, because sometimes governance is about putting people where you can watch them and sometimes hiding them where you can't see them. And so you got to learn to pull talents and push talents. And a talent like Mr. Christie, you can't just let it sit home and rot, right? Mr. Christie is, I mean, I don't know of a time that Mr. Christie has stood to his feet and people didn't want to hear him speak. I recall the time in Grand Bahama where the girl, she cried till she fainted. They had to drag her out. All her heel was knocking on the ground. They trying to drag her off the park. And it's all of this is because Christie's speaking. No other reason, right? So I say, take him, put him on Mount Fitzwilliam, give him one bunch of these titles, give him the National Honors title so he becomes Perry, the most right honorable, His Excellency, Sir Perry Christie, O-N-G-G, C-G-M-G, or we're going to make him K-G-M-G, one of those, right? And then he goes up on top of the hill, and we never have to worry about him, you know, kind of overshadowing Mr. Davis ever again. So that's my one pick. Perry Christie, Governor General. Darren Enfield, Leader of Opposition Business. Dawn Sanders, his second. I don't know which other male I'm going to pick and female I'm going to pick. I see someone saying Nicole Martin. I also don't think that'll happen. Let's take a phone call, though. Good morning, Carl. You're on.
Yes, good morning, Levan. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Levan. Levan, I just had to call and respond because, you know, it amazes me the way that people have one rule for this set of people and one rule for the other set of people. I don't see no one complain when Nunes brought back Powell and Dion and all the old folks from Ingram time. That was fine. They didn't have no popcorn and juice and thing and watching just the same movie. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize that we have qualified people within the party, whether we are in government or out government, that assist and stay and hang with the party to guide the party and direct.
Agreed.
And not because of you supposedly based on the analysis of the Hemi bill that you made one mistake that you can't continue to contribute to the development of your country.
Agreed.
Even when I look at Minas Tenure, those who didn't come into the forefront in terms of holding spaces in the government, you saw their names in various different contractual agreements, which means they were there too. And the supporters of the FM did not have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just really would like to ask the behavior public that you have to give people a chance. It even been 2 weeks since the government been in place.
I agree.
But why is there more focus on who was associated with the PLP as opposed to what the previous administration did? They did the same because they are talented people in their organization who they could make a contribution.
No, I completely agree. And you know, mistakes die with administration. So, you know, for instance, you saw Brent Simonetta and the mistake at the airport. And when the F&M came back, that mistake died with that administration. He came back as a reincarnated man, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that, caller. Thank you. 323-623-2352-3254-316-325-4259. Now, I see somebody is also asking me what's going to happen to my Bishop Hall pick. Now, Bishop, I know you're out there. I know you're listening. He's one of my most ardent listeners. And I want to say this, that the Bishop, you know, if PGC got into the Hill Bishop, I got to let him go, right? Let's put Mr. Christie on the Hill. But I want Bishop Simeon Hall, in a most bipartisan fashion, to be the official Deputy Governor General to the Governor General. Because if I can't listen to Perry Gladstone Christie, the next man up have to be Simeon Hall. And I would love to have both of them. So let's put Mr. Christie, he'll be GG, right? We will then make Mr. Hall Deputy to the Governor General. And don't say, oh my God, why are all these bunch of old... We need old people, all right? Don't upset me with that. Unless you want all the old people to die, old people could be in charge somewhere, all right? The best thing to do is put them in positions that they could be out of your way. Because at 38, you can't be trying to be the Governor General, right? Perfect. So let them go be governor general, because that ain't a job you're trying to have in any event. So when you're 78, they wouldn't be in your way either, and you could come out of the way of some other 38-year-olds. So Perry Godson Christie, governor general. Simeon Hall, deputy to the governor general. I like that combination. Let's continue to go. We're playing speculative sport this morning. Let's take a call. Good morning, call. You're on.
Good morning, Levine Melvin.
Hey, Robert.
Now, the labor director, right? He already served 5 years, right?
About that, I think, yeah.
So, yeah, from 18 to L.A. law. I mean, what he did in 5 years, he's director of labor, standards closed. Why bring back the man, do the same? Everybody has a newer chance to me.
Like, I understand he has some labor law negotiation expertise that they want.
All this tribal thing. He served 5 years. You mean? Just a better chance by getting back to Jerome. What is his specialty?
Jerome is a very decent businessman. You know, the man got like 7 businesses. Like, he is an amazing businessman.
His daddy.
Yeah, but his daddy's a very old man. You think his daddy's still doing the business?
I don't know. I don't know. But
if Jerome almost 70, how old do you think his daddy is?
No, Jerome 50.
When I say almost 70, I mean he ain't 20.
But I'm saying, like, what is your specialty helping the prime minister? Like, is he good in finance, foreign affairs? You don't need one man. Like, you need different men, different things. Like Trump had minister of Steve Cohen. He writes tax loans. But I'm getting back to you, right? He's old man. I hope Mr. Davis telling them about our public first. Have you ever heard of the PVC pipe scandal?
If I read what?
Have you heard about the PVC pipe scandal? PVC pipe.
I've heard about it. I've never read
it. When the Pentagon was new, a minister ordered PVC pipe to his house, and then one pound of the pay. They fired him, Simeon Bowe. They fired him for using the public money to pay for PVC pipe.
Mm-hmm.
We want that type of government. We want our prime minister to watch the place. No more part of the contract.
I'm saying to you that I don't see how Mr. Fitzgerald is incapable of doing anything.
But we are testers. My baby is a nice man. He's a nice man. We want a man behind him, like Chester, who will watch the pocketbook. Watch our place. No more coming in for getting rich. If you have $100 a year, times 5 is what? $500,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not $5 million. You're tired of it. You come to the office, you and your family get big and fat and rich over our...
I still don't make the correlation to Mr. Fitzgerald. I don't understand the point. I don't understand how Mr. Fitzgerald's appointment is somehow hampering that. I don't get it. Jerome Fitzgerald is an astute businessman. So good at being a businessman that he doesn't even practice law anymore, right? Why can't he be in the delivery unit of the office of the prime minister if he's good at business and has good business contacts? I don't understand the point, Robert. I also don't understand how that would stop padded contracts. And if you argue that he doesn't have the necessary tertiary accreditation, then I would have to ask you, what the hell is Jack Thompson's because Jack has been everything from a cake baker, shoemaker, and candlestick, you don't know nursery rhyme. Jack Thompson has been Minister of Immigration, Road Traffic, Special Envoy to the Office of the Prime Minister, Special Envoy in Bimini, high school teacher, and I think he drives bus on Sunday. You cannot then say, see, when you get to a policy-making level, sometimes it don't matter what you went to school to study. If you have enough necessary contacts and understand the way the machinations of certain programs and how they function. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. We ain't doing a good job at the speculative sport. I thought by now y'all would have my Senate full, but y'all ain't. I mean, we have nobody in the Senate. Caller,
how you doing, man?
I'm well.
Okay. Good morning to you. Good morning, Bams. Listen, this morning is speculation morning.
Mm-hmm.
I like the scenario you're taking with respect to Governor General.
Mm-hmm.
Can I speculate on 2 seats?
Sure.
Okay. Long Island and Kalani.
You think the doors are going back into by-elections?
There's a strong chance they will be. We're speculating now.
Yeah, we're speculating.
Okay, so it's a chance that they go back into there. If the outcome of any investigation with respect to Mr. Adrian Gibson is found wanting, we may have a by-election there.
Okay, I could see that.
Okay.
I could see that.
Now, let's now go to Kalani.
Mm-hmm.
Kalani is Minnis.
Yes.
Is proposed to step down as leader of the FNM.
In November when they go to convention.
November.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I can work with you there. We go to convention.
Right. He won't step down as the member of parliament.
No. He didn't promise that.
Right.
Okay? But we just go to convention. We don't know what he can decide in convention because we know that he shifts. Okay? He might decide he's going to run for leader again. But suffice it, he says he's going to step down as leader of the party.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If that happens to be a double bonus for the FNM, but he decides I'm going to gift the FNM party even a further gift of just resigning my seat, then we have a by-election there. I said that for this reason. We're speculating. For this reason, there is a strong faction in the FNM. Some may call it the Turnquest House.
Mm-hmm.
That thinks, as Mr. Hubert Alexander Ingram has already expressed, from a particular faction, we would like to see Dwayne Sands be leader of the FNM and hopefully prime minister of the country. He said that.
Mm-hmm.
He's on record of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, their prospective leader is not, he doesn't hold a seat.
Correct.
Okay?
But neither did Tommy Turnquest when he was leader.
Then, the only seat that is feasible will be Killarney or Long Island if it becomes available, if either one becomes available.
Mm. No, I agree. I think Killarney would be the best bet. I think Adrian Gibson is going to hold on. He's going to survive the blast. And it's because I don't think the PLP will come in with that kind of energy the FNM did, which is they're going to jail because it's stupid, right?
Okay, it isn't a jail factor. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I want to touch on that without going off from our speculative
sure.
enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the going to jail part.
Mm-hmm.
We have young people in this country. We are telling them, live morally and ethically upright.
Yes. Yes.
I don't get this. I don't see why you have to blend with anyone, not you. I'm sure I've been listening to you for quite a while. I'm sure we need to raise the standard for ourselves and our young people, because you're telling me there is a time and place and an association where my wrongs, I can go beyond good and evil.
I hear you. No, and I hear you. But again, like I said, remember now, it depends on the prosecution or the people who believe that something was done wrong must go and seek the right, correct? And if there is, and if they do not push it, then I think Adrian is going to be safe. And I think he's already survived the blast. I don't know if there's any more collateral interest in it. They may not pursue it. He may be able to justify it. All I'm saying is, I don't think it, at this point, will be as contentious a situation as it was 3 weeks ago. And so he may have survived. He may have survived.
Again, I appreciate you. We can look at the numbers as to who turned out to vote in Long Island, but that's a discussion from a different angle for next time.
All right, no problem. Appreciate it.
But let's get back to Killarney.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a next name. We have a next name. Loretta Butler-Turner. Will she be returning to politics?
Loretta Butler-Turner has said on public platforms on more than one occasion that she's retired from politics. So we have to take out that word.
And Ingram, Prime Minister Hubert Ingram said the same thing. But
right, and until we see something different, we have to accept that she's retired.
Right.
Now, all right.
Now back to your governor thing. I don't think, I like the Honorable Perry Christie.
Mm-hmm.
No. I like the Honorable Perry Christie.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is a good man.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's sensitive, conscientious person,
mm-hmm.
and that would got the better of him in his last administration. Okay?
Okay.
But whether he would want to be governor, I don't know.
Listen to me. I believe if somebody told Perry Christie that governor general is on the table, they wouldn't even have to give him a ride. He will walk to Mount Fitzwilliam. I think Perry Christie loves public life. He loves public office. Some people are just born for it, and he happens to be one. I tell people all the time, if Perry Gladstone Christie was born in a bigger country, he would probably be king. Literally, like if Perry Christie was born in Europe, he would probably be king. He just has that kind of personality. It's difficult. It's difficult when you're Perry Christie to avoid public life. Public life is just, it calls you. And I wouldn't be surprised that he not become governor general. Let me get a couple of these text messages in because I don't want these people to creep me out. This one here says, Mr. Miller, I listened to Mr. Ryan Pender emphasizing that he is the attorney general. We know that. He reminds me of when Ronald Reagan was shot. General Alexander Haig made a statement that caused him politically when he told the American people that he was in charge. Tune down, Ryan. We know you are in charge. I actually liked that. Can I say that, text writer? You know why? And it's because on the heels of ministers like Pakeisha Parker, who can't tell me nothing. Everything I ask, Pakeisha, not I, but everything the news asks. Pakeisha, when the dorm go built? I know. Pakeisha, when the dorms go finished? I know. Pakeisha, how much money we spent? I sure. You know, my grandma used to say, you remind her of Topsy. Topsy dunno, and you can't kill Topsy for dunno. Well, I guess you can't kill Pakeisha for dunno, because she don't know nothing. Every single time they ask, she just don't know. And I am so happy, right? Like, I would rather a minister tell me, we will comment. We are actively working on that. I assure you, my office has it in hand. We will collaborate. And once we have reached a consensus, we will inform you. Please stand by for a press release. Right? That's code for, buddy, we ain't sure. We ain't know what's going on around here. But the minute I find out, you can find out. What you can tell me, though, is I pray or I hope. You don't hope when you're a minister. You direct policy. The commander of the Defense Force doesn't hope he has boats at sea tomorrow. No. Boats will be at sea, and he don't care if someone got to pull them with fins. Full stop. You know, Mr. Scavalli used to say something when he was the Commodore that I grew to like, which was, commanders command. That's the bottom line. Commanders command. So it doesn't matter what's happening. When I come here and I say something, that's now the thing that's happening. And that's kind of how it works. So I'm very happy that Ryan Bender took that tone. This one here said, just to let Robert know, Mr. Fitzgerald, it's just like Mr. Skomalafi. They both have law and financial degrees. Okay. Leaving these senior advisor appointments by successive administrators are a means of compensating loyal party supporters. Just another jobs program. Only these ones are substantially above the minimum wage. Nothing is going to change. Both Mr. Christie and Dr. Minnis paid over $200,000 per annum for these senior advisors, yet these former PMs were sent packing by the Bahamian people. They were obviously not given good advice. You may be onto something, because Mr. Minister had, what is the name of the man that ran in Exuma that time with the cool gray hair? I love his gray hair. I don't remember his name at this present time. But he was the quietest advisor that the prime minister I had ever seen. Like, you very rarely even ever noticed him. This here says, you sound like you're singing for something, leaving with this Fitzgerald issue. I hear you. I don't believe we should appoint another GG, keep Mr. Smith, and save another salary with perks and support our youth instead. Okay. It's fine to be given a second chance, but your second chance is not that you get to come back to a position of trust. You think if a bank hires a cashier who steals money, they're gonna out them or put them back to cashing. Our definition of second chance has been skewed by decades of corruption. Why can't he be in the delivery unit? Trump is also a rich man. There are some people for whom enough is never enough. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hello.
Hey, caller.
Good morning, sir. This is Bill. How you doing?
Hey, Sparky. What's up?
You know, I've been listening for your last talk. You gave me my long run.
Yeah.
You know, some people get a big piece of the cake, eh? But you know, Mr. Miller, I've been listening to this over and over. I just keep wondering, why is it that only the same people get the lemon pie and chocolate cake?
We call the people we know.
Why we keep cycling? I mean, we're producing the same people.
Let me ask you a question, Sparky. Who fixes your tires?
Who do what?
Fixes your tires.
Different places, well, this tire shop I close by.
What is the name of your air conditioned man?
I don't know. I put air conditioned one in. I bought it from one place. I installed it one day, and I'm going wrong with it yet. So
no, what is the name of the mind that repairs it? What is the name of the mind that fixes your...
Well, hold on, let me get to my question, because then you will cut me, because time to run out.
Well, you can't tell me if I'm going to cut you, Sparky. I control in the show, so I mean, all right, how you can tell me when I cut you? Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I wanted to ask this question, okay? Mm-hmm. I heard you talk about Mr. Perry Christie.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the Valley area.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people, if you go to the Valley area, the majority of people never ask politicians for nothing. They build their homes and they build everything. But you've been there for 40 years. Have you ever seen the roads in the big area called the Valley? Mm-hmm. Have you ever rode on roads like Montreal and the Madera and Rosetta Street?
Yes,
and you've been there for 40 years. But God bless him, he's a good man, plus he's a Valley boy like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm trying to find out, how could somebody, would he be still getting his prime minister pension, plus the governor?
He probably wouldn't.
The governor general salary?
He probably wouldn't. They would stop his pension more than likely until after he demits office.
Well, okay, in the case of the governor general before the president, were they getting Mr. Pendleton's salary? Pension plus their salary?
I cannot intelligently speak to that.
I think they were.
Yeah, it would be speculation. I don't know.
How much other people, they just need more money? What about the people out here who can't even get a dollar from national insurance?
But you realize that nothing stops
who
you from being the governor.
Can't buy corned beef and grits.
Hold on. You realize that nothing stops you from being the governor general, right, Sparky?
I know nothing stops you.
Right.
Just an appointment by the Prime Minister.
Right. So maybe one day Sparky would be the Governor General.
Yeah,
Sparky.
I think the person that should be the Governor General should be a well-rounded person, an intelligent education. But you don't just put a friend up there because he's a friend.
But you don't think Mr. Christie, a two-time Prime Minister, one of the most senior Prime Ministers in the region, somebody that's been Minister of Health, Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Finance, Minister of, I think, Housing. You don't think, and he's been Chairman of the Board of the Broadcasting Corporation. You don't think that is a well-rounded person with a...
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Only one place you will have found this because you're talking to later?
No.
We got around this country that, A, maybe had all them jobs, but could be a governor general.
But again, and if you follow me any at all, Sparky, you will know that I've often said that I would like to have Bishop Simeon Hall be the next governor general.
You know?
Simeon Hall, he only taking a back seat now because Perry Christie is an option.
Well, I think we got other people that send me all too, but you might want Simeon Hall because you're a Baptist.
No, I straight to God. Randy Frazier is a Baptist. Thank you, Sparky. 323-6232-32-5-4-3-1-6-3-2-5-4-2-5. Now let's go to the break, Ali. We go into the break. Don't move. It's Levin Miller. I'm unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. But I've got more show for you. We'll be back after this.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best, always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Lavon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levon Miller here. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We are not doing a very good job at speculation sports at all. So let me finish this. I have Darren Enfield, leader of opposition business. Dawn Sanders will probably go in there second behind him. He knows parliamentary protocol. He's been deputy speaker. He grew into that position. Plus, he's at the right age. Dawn should be about 45, maybe 46, which puts him right at the transitional age for the party, because Darren should be about 57 or thereabout. And then he's probably going to put John Pinder, because, you know, they make John Levy jobs, so now he needs a job. And so he's probably going to be picked up in the Senate. And, of course, they will say he represents Labour, and Labour matters to us. So they'll sneak John in there with the quarterback sneak, and then they're going to put, I suppose, the bright spot. She is literally the bright spot among the women FNM candidates, right? Because apparently you can't say female no more, even though they have a feminist movement. Jesus, help me with this public stuff. Anyway, so I believe that we're going to see Maxine Seymour appointed as the token female, as the token woman, to the Senate. It'll give her good polish. Obviously, she will take care of all of their public relations. She speaks well. She has great diction. People will become fond of her and learn to like her. And that helps her survive the road to 2026. All right? So I believe that will be what the opposition Senate will look like. I think that is a good blend of all basically newcomers, but we'll have a cabinet minister former, a deputy speaker former, which adds a little bit of validity and veracity to the Senate appointments. And then we will have a labor juggernaut in John Pinder. And then, of course, we will have a communications expert in Maxine Seymour, who will, you know, make the Senate look good. And I think he really would like to appoint Renwood Wells, but I believe the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas would scream Voldemort, and I don't think he wants to heap that coal on top of his back, so to speak, because they already want him gone. You know, I don't think he wants to bring back his trusted son, because that just wouldn't be good for politics. Let's take another call. Come on and call, you're on. Call, you there?
Yes, hey. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
In your consideration for Governor General, why haven't you considered a female or woman for that post? And if you have, let's hear some name.
I haven't. I just haven't. I know the name Cynthia Pratt comes to mind. I'm not sure, you know, if she isn't otherwise occupied these days. And so I if you notice, she has done a wonderful job distancing herself from public life, so much so that Mr. Christie had to call her back and say, listen, we need to get behind the PLP so that Brave could be prime minister. You remember that?
Well,
she just doesn't sound like she's still interested in public life.
What happened to the first lady that was registered, the first woman that was registered and voted in the Bahamas who served in the Senate?
Can I ask the question then? Sorry, go on, sorry.
Served in the Senate. Who was an educator most of her life.
Is that Ruby Ann Darling?
Indeed. Mm-hmm. What happened to her? Member of Parliament?
Nothing happened to her. Nothing has happened to her.
No, in my opinion, I think she trumps Mother Cynthia Pratt. If you're talking females in terms on the PLP side,
mm-hmm.
that's the bench right there.
Well, you may be very correct. I have just not considered it. I'm not saying that you're incorrect. I'm saying it's not a consideration of mine. That's one.
I hope that doesn't speak something about you.
No, actually, I don't understand why people are so fascinated these days with appointing a woman. They will literally appoint a woman to cream can opener just for legacy around this place. She was the first woman to open a cream can under my administration. So what? She was ridiculously terrible at it. And you should have not appointed her because of her fixtures. You should have actually appointed her because of her capability. And sometimes...
You got soul. You got soul. You got brave. You soul.
Yeah.
You're not trying to flatter. And that's good. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. I am not one of those people that is entirely interested in appointing the first woman. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Competency. Competency. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Because there are some really bright women out there.
There are, and that's why I'm now leaning
towards
Maxine
Seymour. And that's why they call
them
the exception to the rule. But everybody just wants to make the rule.
Yeah. And all it is a bunch of legacy chasing man. That's all it is. How do they say that I do not care about women? It was me that appointed 5 women to the cabinet. I only had 7, right? But I appoint all 5. And the only reason it wasn't 6 is because the law tell me I couldn't appoint the next one.
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, I thought I would throw that in your mix. Okay?
All right, appreciate it. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You've heard my opposition Senate picks. Obviously, I'm going to have to get the government Senate picks at some other time because we ain't got enough show left. But this one here says, yes, Joshua Sayers was his name. That was the former prime minister's advisor. All the cows died when Perry Christie was minister of agriculture. And he also never built a house as housing minister. There are several housing ministers that haven't built a house. I think the last one is also one. And the one before him in the FNM administration. Levin Miller, man, slow down with the numbers. You think I fast like Jitney say. People say I say it. I don't know how to say it slower. Let's try it. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. I hope that was better. Let's take this one. This one here says, Levin, been appointed to OPM is the way the party gave you a high-paying job because you've fallen on hard times. When last Jerome practiced law, if you believe that Jerome Fitzgerald is on hard times, my friend, you must be living in Landrill Point, Cricket Island, with no TV or radio. All right? Hello to my friends down there in Landrill Point. The old boys are back. Salary, my friend, I guess. It was Exoma Sayers. Yes, Joshua Sayers was the advisor to the prime minister. Let's see if I can take one more phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Sorry, wrong line. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Miller.
How are you?
Awesome, awesome show. And, you know, the name is ringing in my head, Jerome Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
I remember underneath the Ingham administration, 30 of us was hired just before the election when the PLP beat Ingram. 30 of us was hired for security in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jerome Fitzgerald became the Minister of Education, he let the 30 of us go and brought in 18 people from the Maragon constituency.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, I had voted PLP. But because Ingram had hired us mm-hmm. just before the election, he let us go.
And why didn't move in Maragon?
Pardon me?
Why you didn't move in Maragon?
I should have.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was without a job for a couple of years, but everything turned out to be good. But the bottom line is, why would Brave muddy up the water so quickly with Jerome?
Again, from all of the indications I have seen, Jerome Fitzgerald has not been my favorite politician, right? Now, I believe that he did a wonderful job with education. I think that we saw a lot of his policies come to head even after he left. And I know him and the union weren't always cozy, but hey, that's not the job of the union to be cozy.
Yeah, but we know the Bahama deal with the limousine service and the logistics and stuff like that. We know the corruption that happened there. Why would Brave want to muddy it up so quick? And I mean just right in our face. So what's going to happen now when Leslie Miller come? When he's pushing the spotlight now.
I don't know.
It's amazing.
I don't know. We playing speculator sport. This
yeah.
morning, caller.
And then word on the street is that Jerome gave the PLP $100,000.
I can't take that word on the street, caller. I can't take that on the street. I don't know anything about that. I want to say that Levin don't know nothing but that. I don't think Guardian know nothing but that. I can't take word off the street, caller. This one here says, good morning, Senate pick Nicole Martin. Okay. I don't think that's going to happen. Mr. Miller, I have a question for you. Ms. Moxie was given the portfolio as Member of Parliament for Freeport. Do you know or would you be specific as to what her role is? In relations between the cabinet and the Port Authority. I think that's what it was originally designed to do. Morning, Levin. Hubert Minnis is going to swing them at convention. Hubert Minnis always does the opposite of what he says. You know that, I know that. Bottom ass know it. Anyway, that's my time. You hear my music, that means the show is over. Thank you so much for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news. That's next.
to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died.